get started, I'd like to thank my co-author, Jim Bonta, who's not here, who's also a scientist at the North Appalachian Experimental Watershed. In keeping with the theme today of today's session, I'm going to talk about a different product and a different application. It seems like we're looking at a wide variety of byproducts today. What I'm going to talk about is paper mill sludge. Paper mill sludge that many of you may be aware of is a product that consists of the fibers that are too short to make paper, as well as the clay and the lime that's used in the production process. In Ohio, this is used as is approved as a reclamation aid. Due to the constituents in there, it has properties that make it very useful in terms of reclamation. Typically, what is done is the sludge is delivered on site, dumped in trucks, dumped out of trucks, and immediately spread on site with a bulldozer. It usually sits on the soil unincorporated for a month or more, or over the winter, depending on when it's applied. Then it's incorporated by disking, and then it's planted. So that's the steps in the reclamation process. This occurs every day of the year. Strip mining is a continuous operation, and the paper mills generate waste every day. The current law does not allow it to be either stockpiled at the mills or on site, so it's spread regardless of the conditions there. And as you see, even if they have to tow the trucks in with bulldozers, it's applied on the site. So there's a wide range of conditions in which this applies, and that's going to have some effect on how we evaluate that. It's also applied to some very steep slopes, typical of the Appalachian region. Okay, the impetus of this research is paper mill sludge is rather bulky and costly to transport. Therefore, where it's used or whether it's used for strip mine reclamation depends on how close it is to the mill. If hauling costs get too high and it's cheaper to either landfill it or burn it, that's going to be the fate of the paper mill sludge. Because of that, there's a limited range of sites in which it can be applied. So the paper mill industry would actually like to apply it at higher rates than currently allowed, so that the amount of land available within economical hauling distances is increased. The EPA, our state EPA, is hesitant to approve this because there's really no data on the water quality effects of using high rates. Typically, the rate that it's approved now is 100 dry tons per acre, and there's some anecdotal evidence that if they go up to 300 tons per acre, or 672 megagrams per hectare dry tons, that they get better reclamation. So what we did is we designed an experiment basically to look at application rates. We had three application rates, 0, 100 tons and 300 tons per acre, and we had USALE size plots that we applied to this in a randomized complete block design. We looked at runoff volume, dissolved oxygen, and pH on site, and then we collected samples where we looked at sediment, nutrient loss, dissolved organic carbon, and COD. To complete the study, we also looked at dry matter yields at the various rates, and as well as we took soil samples and looked at the effect of the sludge application on some soil properties. The way this experiment was conducted, with our sampling equipment, we're unable to sample during the winter months, so we tried to get as much of the year as possible. So what we did is we established the plots in March, moved the paper mill sludge onto sites by stockpiling it there. We had the appropriate amount delivered, and our application rate was done by basically using a front-end loader and putting three scoops on the high-rate plots to every one scoop on the low-rate plots. Right after we did that, we covered the paper mill sludge until we had a chance to construct and install the cutoff walls and sampling equipment. As you can see here, conditions were a little bit challenging in terms of installing those. If you dropped your tools, they were likely to disappear forever, but that's typical of a springtime situation at a strip mine. It's very muddy. After the plots were installed, we used a bulldozer to backblade the sludge onto the plots, and then that sat under those conditions until it was incorporated later on in the experiments. The plots are operational in the first of April. The top image here shows you a high rate of sludge application. It also shows the equipment that we have for sampling runoff. At the downstream end of the plot, we have a gutter which feeds onto a Coshocton wheel. The Coshocton wheel is designed to collect 1.5% of the runoff, so we estimated runoff volume, total runoff volume based on Coshocton wheel catch. The image below that shows you the comparison of the zero versus the high rate application plots. We also eventually covered the Coshocton wheels to prevent wind from affecting their operation. The image here that I'm pointing to shows you the sampling operation for one of the sludge treated plots. One thing I'll point out here, there wasn't a lot of sediment, but you notice the sample here is collecting. It is very brown and had a bit of a foam on it. Probably the best way to describe what the runoff looked like from the paper mill sludge treated plots was looked and smelled like skunky beer, basically. Okay. After about 2.5 months, where we had the paper mill sludge on the soil surface, we incorporated that using a rotavator. Typically, they would use a heavy disc to incorporate that. That wasn't practical on the plots. So we used a rotavator to mimic what they did. What we did is the paper, there's very little traction on that, so we had a bulldozer connected with a cable system to the tractor, and we lowered the tractor on the plots and then pulled it back up as we incorporated the sludge. The plot here shows, the picture here shows the plots after incorporation. With the zero ton or untreated plots, we followed standard reclamation procedures. We fertilized, seeded those plots, and then mulched them with hay. Both the paper mill sludge plots and the conventional reclamation plots, the reclamation procedures were done by a contractor that commercially does this that was also working on the rest of the sites. We wanted to use his equipment to try to get things as professionally done as possible. The seed mixtures were ones that they have adapted for the various reclamation processes. It's a mixture of about 6 to 8 different grasses. The major difference between the sludge-treated plots and the conventional reclamation is the conventional reclamation included oats in the mixture, where that wasn't included on the other plots. There's a quick little video clip here that I'm going to show you what happens on the plots there. And it's running a little choppy. This is amateur video, but this is the way it's running over the system here. But it shows the Coshocton wheel rotating, and every time it rotates, a small portion of the sample drops into the opening there that gives us our flow proportional sample. This just shows you the condition of the mulch plot. And as I pan there, you see what the site looked like. As I continue to pan there, you'll see the area that was commercially reclaimed there using mulch, and you also see this is at the tail end of that event. You also see that the standard reclamation process failed in large parts, where we have large amounts of runoff and the mulch washed off into the diversion ditch and then eventually on into the detention basin. The next few sets of slides will follow the same format. On the upper portion, I'll show a graph which either shows concentration or, in this case, depth, and then the statistical analysis. I divided the data up into 3 periods. The pre-plant period, where the sludge was unincorporated and there was no treatment on the control plots. The post-plant period, where the sludge was incorporated. And then there was a 4-month break where we didn't sample during the winter months, and then we picked up sampling again in 2007 and discontinued that in September. You notice at both rates of sludge application, it was very effective in reducing runoff, and with really no significant difference between the two rates. 2007 was a very dry year with very few runoff producing storms, so there was really not a good test of the system in 2007, the sort of things you face when you start to do field work, but luckily 2006 provided some very useful information. If you look at sediment loads, the paper mill sludge drastically reduced sediment concentrations and sediment loss. You see here both rates. It seems like at the higher rate gave us a little bit better control of sediment losses. The control plots and the plot size we were working with were also very effective once they were mulched in reducing the soil loss. But in that pre-plant period, we lost a considerable amount of soil. So that's the good side of the sludge application. Now, if we look at oxygen demand, if we look at particularly at the high rate of sludge application, very high oxygen demand in the pre-plant period, which dramatically dropped shortly after that, which is I attribute both to incorporation and weathering of the sludge during the 2.5 months before it was incorporated. If you look at the total load of oxygen demand, even during the pre-plant period, due to the reduction in runoff volume, there was no significant differences between any of the treatments, even comparing the control. And actually, in the post-plant period, there we had higher COD loads with the mulch plots, and this I attribute to organic matter leaching from the hay that we used as mulch on the plots. Again, 2007, really not much of interest there. Dissolved oxygen kind of shows you the same sort of thing that we see with the chemical oxygen demand. Reasonable dissolved oxygen levels with the control plots, but when we mulched that with hay, that dropped very low, similar to what we saw with the paper mill sludge plots. And then afterwards, all three treatments kind of tracked each other for the remainder of the sampling period. I'm not going to show you any nutrient data. The nutrient losses were generally very small and really no differences between the treatments. They were generally just a few kilograms per hectare per year were the loss rates. We look at vegetation growth. This just shows the sampling in comparison of the two plots. You notice the oats here versus just the grass on the sludge treated plots. In 2007, when we sampled, I hope you can see here much greater grass growth on the sludge amended plots. We also took soil samples at the same time. This is visually just showing you the grass cover on the three treatments. This is in 2006, the first year of establishment. Pretty sparse grass cover on the control plots, but when you look at total dry matter yield, really no significant differences. The reason is the oats contributed a lot of organic matter, dry matter there. If we took that out of that, you see much higher grass yields on the sludge amended plots. 2007, second year after establishment, all the plots had better dry matter yields and statistically higher yields when we had the sludge there. Finally, looking at the soil there, there's obvious differences between the soil. These are the 2007 soil samples, September 2007, put in the paper mill sludge at both rates, increased the organic matter content considerably, but there was no effect below 20 centimeters. pH was raised about 2 units with the sludge application, and with a higher increase and a greater increase with depth with a high sludge rate. Similarly, calcium levels were increased. Just to sum up here, paper mill sludge greatly decreased runoff erosion. That's the good side of that. It did decrease dissolved oxygen and COD levels, but after we treated the control plots, those were fairly similar. The high rate of sludge application really didn't have any increased negative effects compared to the lower rate of sludge application, and may be more beneficial in the long term in terms of providing better soil quality and better plant growth. And just my thinking now is we've changed the situation here where with the normal reclamation process, sediment is the big concern. With when we use paper mill sludge, sediment yields aren't really a problem. It's the dissolved organic matter the problem. So eventually, maybe you should consider redesigning the detention systems. We don't really need ponds as big, or we don't need as many diversions, but maybe something such as aeration in the detention ponds may help to reduce those organic matter levels and perhaps off-site effects. And the caveat is we just looked at this once, one type of sludge and one application. And that finishes up. I'd like to thank the collaborators on this project. I list four paper mill companies there on the first line. It's all the same paper mill. It happened to change ownership three times during the course of this project. Oxford Mining helped me out by preparing the site. Ohio Department of Natural Resources owned the land and modified the reclamation permit for me. And Ohio EPA also allowed us to apply this at out of their normal permitted process. Thank you.